CH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. More than 240 people fear dead in northwest India following a plane crash in the city of Ahmedabad. The plane went down just after takeoff and hit a residential neighborhood. ABC transportation reporter Sam Sweeney has more on what we know.
Pilot had 8,200 hours of experience. This was an 11-year-old plane, and it was loaded with fuel. It was going from India to London Gatwick Airport. That's roughly a 10-hour flight, so you can imagine with all that fuel and you have impact with the building, the explosion there. We don't know about the co-pilot yet.
The police chief in that city says it's believed no one survived. American personnel and their families being pulled from embassies and bases in parts of the Middle East as tensions escalate between Iran and Israel, the UN's nuclear watchdog censuring Iran over its nuclear enrichment. Protests over federal immigration enforcement raids go on. The curfew in downtown L.A. remains in effect. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Joint Finance Committee voted to increase the bonding authority of the Safe Drinking Water Loan and Clean Water Fund programs last week. The unanimous vote increased the bonding authority of the programs by over $730 million, which officials say could lead to increased funding assistance for wastewater treatment infrastructure projects across the state. Maintaining water quality has become a hotly contested topic over recent years as municipalities across the state struggle with PFAS contamination and general pollution issues. Attorney General Josh Call has announced Wisconsin will join another multi-state lawsuit seeking to block the DNA testing company 23andMe from selling personal genetic data. The lawsuit argues that the highly sensitive genetic information, including biological samples, should not be sold without the consent of consumers who provided the samples. The lawsuit was filed in federal bankruptcy court as another company seeks to buy the struggling 23andMe company. Experts are encouraging consumers to delete their 23andMe accounts before a potential sale. City of Superior officials are highlighting new crime data that shows rates of drug-related crimes are declining. According to Mayor Jim Payne, the Superior Police Department responded to about 10% fewer drug complaints over the last year, and property theft crimes dropped by about 40% compared to the three-year average. He also reported a significant drop in the number of non-fatal overdoses and reported zero fatal overdoses. Local health officials also claimed improved treatment access has contributed to the declining crime rates. Polk County District Attorney Jeffrey Kemp has released a statement following a social media post regarding an email he sent questioning the legality of federal immigration operations. The email appeared to criticize the way ICE is conducting immigration operations, specifically the lack of hearings and warrants, as well as agents wearing masks. District Attorney Kemp said in his statement that the email was taken out of context to suggest something radical or inappropriate, and it was simply a discussion of legal and ethical questions with other attorneys. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
It's the Brewers and the Cardinals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers open a four-game series at home against the Cardinals tonight. The crew losing to the Braves yesterday, 6-2. Rookie pitcher Chad Patrick gave up 5 runs in 5 innings. Manager Pat Murphy.
You know, he's been so great for us. He's a rookie. He's never faced, you know, being in that spot. So maybe that's going to be a good learning experience for him. We still have full confidence. He still got through 5.
NBA Finals. The Pacers beat the Thunder, 116-107, to take a 2-1 lead. Tyrese Halliburton says Brad Weber, his coach from Oshkosh North High, was at the game.
It's important for me at a time like this to talk to people whose opinions I respect. Coach Weber is one of those, you know, being my high school coach. Coach Prohm is in the back there, my college coach. You know, I've had many conversations with those guys. You know, these games can get crazy. And, you know, I think what I've learned from those guys as my coaches and Coach Carlisle, you know, is that people follow the leader.
That's the Pacers' Tyrese Halliburton with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Sunshine this morning, becoming mostly cloudy with scattered showers by later this afternoon. Our high today, 75. Some rain and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. And the rain could be heavy with a half inch to an inch or more likely by late tomorrow. Cooler tonight, 47. Our high tomorrow, 58. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
All right, time to visit with Melissa Baldoff as we talk climate issues. Acting FEMA chief told staff he didn't know about U.S. hurricane seasons.
What?
See, you're speechless too.
I mean, I love it.
We're all just sitting here like, what?
If it is a joke, and I don't know that it is, it's not a funny one. We've seen more deadly hurricanes, so we have every reason to expect it will be a bad hurricane season.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
At 4 o'clock, the Wisconsin Policy Forum drops a bombshell report on the impacts of the big, brutal bill in Wisconsin. I'm joined by their communications director, and we break it down.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air. Good morning. Welcome to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Kevin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Busy, busy show coming up today. Jim Santel, unfortunately, our friend and colleague from Amicus, a law review on Saturdays from 9 to 11 across the network, was supposed to join us after the 9:30 news. Mm-hmm. He had a conflict come up, so he will be back next Thursday. Mm-hmm. But again, you can also join him on Saturday. He is live.
Yeah. And the rumor is a handsome young producer might be there, too.
No kidding.
He'll be saying nothing, as he knows nothing about the law, but he'll be there to make sure you can hear Amicus, 9 to 11 on Saturdays.
On Saturday. In hour number two, next hour, Brittany Merlot, Civic Media meteorologist, will be here around 10:20 with a little weather and wine. We'll see what's coming up with the forecast. I know we have some rain coming our way for a large portion of Wisconsin, so we will jump into that with Brittany. After 10:30, J.R. Ratcliffe, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel sports guru, will be here to talk all things sports. And then we'll wrap it up, as we always do, with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it is the not-so-hot pursuit edition. It's a good one. I hope you can stick around for that. Just a reminder as well, 2 days left in our statewide text to win Sconny Summer Contest after 11 o'clock. Mm. You want to listen for the voices of Greg Bach.
Ooh.
And me, giving you the keyword that you want to text in via the Civic Media app. You have an hour to do that. That will happen after 11 o'clock, so you will have until 12 to text in that keyword. That puts you in the running for either a hot $100 in cash, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets, and then you are in the running, whether you win an hourly prize or not, for the grand prizes, a little getaway to either Door County or Baraboo with gas money to get you there.
Nice.
I know.
Hot cash and gas money.
I love it. It's some of my favorite things. You could be a winner just like Joel from Rothschild, who is listening on WXCO, or Rhonda in Madison, listening on WMDX. Also, if you listen to any of Civic Media's music stations, they are part of this contest, too.
If you get that Civic Media app in your life, you can listen to us all over the state. You can listen to all sorts of stations.
Yep.
And
we got country music. We have pop music. We have RJN, which is like the greatest hits.
Yes, the greatest of greatest hits. And you can also take that app anywhere. Like yesterday, we had someone listening in
Nicaragua.
Yeah. So, yeah, take us with you. Take Civic Media. Put us in your pocket. Take us with you, especially if you're an astronaut going to space, because I want us to go to the International Space Station.
We all have to have goals.
I have a goal.
We have goals. Wanted to start off with this, though. A new lawsuit. This from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Molly Beckwith, the reporting. New lawsuit accuses Elon Musk of bribing Wisconsin voters Yeah, I think we can all kind of agree on that.
Yeah.
I'll give you $1 million.
Yeah, but my question was, oh, and I feel like the party pooper the past couple of days of, like, you know, just
being contrary.
Look, I don't like Elon any more than anyone else here, but Elon is a billionaire. He is the richest man in the world. What that affords you is probably an army of lawyers. And I have a feeling that everything he did, while I think ethically terrible, did he break the law? He wasn't paying anyone to vote.
Right.
He was running a sweepstakes.
Right.
That was.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if there's a decision in there that says something the effect of did is what he did good for democracy and the voting process. Absolutely not. But did he break the law? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a very good point. And I'm not sure that. Well, we'll find out.
Yeah.
But I think you're right. I think Elon's probably got an army of pretty competent lawyers,
yeah,
who looked at this very, very closely so they could skate just up to the mm-hmm. line without going over it. But a new lawsuit from a watchdog group seeks to ban Elon Musk from handing out cash to voters in future elections. They want a Wisconsin judge to declare Elon's activities in the recent Wisconsin Supreme Court election to be bribery. This is the third legal challenge Elon has faced in recent months over his decision to give out these cash prizes. Mm-hmm. Three Wisconsin voters got $1 million checks from Elon this spring as part of his very unsuccessful effort to seat Brad Schimmel on the Wisconsin Supreme Court.
Just a bad showing.
Yeah, it was ouch.
I mean, I went to an event this past weekend it was at the club. It was at the club last weekend. And Dana Gould, who's a comic that I really, really, really respect and adore. He just said, oh, by the way, congrats on stopping Elon. I mean, that is we are seen as the little engine that could, and we beat the giant. We beat the giant and the voters did. The voters said no to that. And I don't think Elon should be handing out cash for anything having to do with any kind of voting. And he did this during the 2024 election as well. He had something similar. And they also, like, sought to sue him. I just absolutely think that, like, this notion of will you take a pledge? I'll give you $25. It's gross and shouldn't be allowed, period. Period.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
The Law Forward is the one that is filing the suit on behalf of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. They accuse Elon Musk of a civil conspiracy to violate Wisconsin laws. They want a Dane County judge to bar Elon from doing it again and to declare his activities to be a public nuisance. Okay.
All right.
I do think it's important that we remind folks that among the people who picked up these $1 million checks were people already associated with Elon Musk or the Republican Party. I do think that's an important little caveat.
Yeah, like one of them was just, you know, the chair of the young, the college Republicans of Wisconsin. I mean,
so for all these folks who signed up thinking that they were legitimately going to get a shot at this, I don't think so.
And I wouldn't be surprised if those checks were able to be cashed, honestly, too. Like those big checks they give out at golf tournaments.
Hey, any intrepid reporters who might be listening, that would be a really good follow-up story. Mm-hmm. Follow up on these $1 million prize winners and find out if they actually got to cash those checks.
Maybe they got it at $1 million in Doge bucks.
Yay. Or crypto.
Ugh.
Or Tesla stock, which is still up there.
I was going to say, like, if someone gave me, I would, I'll say this right now. If someone said, I'll give you, 50 shares of Tesla right now, it would take me a moment. Be like, I don't think so. This doesn't feel right. But I'd be like, that's a lot of money.
Why not? Jeff Mandel, who is the general counsel of Law Forward, says this lawsuit is fighting for free and fair elections. We believe democracy demands better than the schemes like the one detailed in the complaint. We are working to hold Elon Musk accountable and stop this from becoming the new normal. And again, I think this is something we could all agree on. I know Tom from LA talks about this frequently. We've talked about this before, about big money in politics.
Yeah.
Both sides do it.
Yep.
But Elon took it to a new level. He really did.
Yeah, where the Hendrix and the Elines and there's one more. What was the other Wisconsin donor, I feel
like? The big donor? Yeah. Is it the... Menards.
John Menard. Where they I mean, they all have given and gave a lot of money.
Elon
was just like, hold my beer. Hold my weird beer. And I'm going to just, yeah. And it makes me wonder what kind of not a warning. That's not the word I'm looking for. Message is that sending to those donors then, the big Republican donors, to say like, oh, maybe we shouldn't spend as much. We didn't get a return on our investment at all.
Not with
any of them. They didn't get Brad Schimmel. They didn't get Jill Underly, or they didn't get, I'm sorry, Brittany.
Education.
They didn't get anything they wanted. The only thing they got was the constitutional amendment, which didn't really affect them anyways.
Yeah, but they've still had some pretty good investments. Ron Johnson's been a very, very good investment for them.
But I wonder if the throwing of money into it is going to be tamped down a little bit. Like, oh, we'll get in, but you're not getting as much as last time. Because in a Supreme Court race, we got whomped. So let's see. Who is your person? That's the question. It's like, that will be interesting to see. We were talking about this yesterday with regard to the governor's race and some very hot takes on Tony Evers. But the Republicans, whomever they bring into a primary, that will be interesting to see who backs who and how much is given based on this last election.
There's a lot of money thrown around.
Yes.
A lot of money thrown around. Yeah. Troy from Mount Horeb texting and listening at WAUK. Hey, Greg, Trump has enough money to hire the best lawyers, too. Have you seen them? Well, there's that. I understand what you're saying about that, Troy, but I do think that we've never met all of Elon's lawyers.
No.
I don't think we have.
Well, no. And then we've not met all of Trump's lawyers either. I mean, that's the thing is, like, when you were that rich, you probably hire one firm, and that firm has a lot of lawyers dedicated to you. I mean, of course we haven't met their lawyers. But, like, I have a feeling that Elon's lawyers are more capable and smarter than the ones that Trump employs. Because Trump just wants people who like him.
Well, Trump just wants people who will do what he wants.
Yeah, and in lieu of paying them, he'll be like, I'll just get you a job in the White House. How about that instead? Then you call my bill a wash. I get you a job in the White House. You don't have to. This is all speculation, folks. I have nothing to ground this in. But based on Trump's business dealings, working with people, doesn't like paying people, that's something that
he's known for. Actually.
So I wouldn't be surprised if he uses leverage, jobs in the White House in D.C. as leverage, just saying, like, if you wipe out my bill for you, I'll get you a job doing that thing, and then you're going to be famous or you make a lot of money or whatever. You know what I mean? But with Elon, I bet you his lawyers are pretty good.
Well, and the other thing for anyone who might be considering joining the Trump administration is legal aid. It always works out so well. Just talk to Rudy Giuliani and Sidney Powell and Jenna Ellis, just to name a couple. It's worked out really, really, really good for those folks.
But Pam Bondi will probably be like, worked great for me.
Well, that's true.
So
she came out on top.
Yeah.
As it were.
But it'll be interesting to see where this lawsuit's where this lawsuit goes.
I don't know that it's going to, again, we're not lawyers.
Yeah.
We can kick this around with Jim Santel next week when he joins us. I don't know how much legs this will have.
But as we spoke with a representative a couple weeks ago from the Madison area or Milwaukee area, they're looking to pass a bill in the assembly and the Senate that will not allow this kind of, not the spending, but like the act of like trying to create contests and things like that. It trying to make it more fair and equal as far as the election goes. And stuff that Elon tried to pull this year would not be allowed. I don't know how far that will go in this Republican controlled state house, but the fact that they're making the effort and saying this is a problem, we need to mitigate it, let's pass some laws to do it.
Well, and I think even more unfortunate is the fact that we have to encourage people or bribe people to go out and vote when there are folks all over the world who would kill for the opportunity to be able to cast a ballot that actually counts.
Yeah.
Myvote.wy.gov, by the way, if you want to register.
Yes,
to
absolutely.
Vote. Check it out. Myvote.wy.gov. When we return, Wisconsin's Republican lawmakers all about Trump's ego parade, but nobody's going.
That's all stuff to do.
That's all on the way. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Summer, summer, summer. It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We want to hook you up with $100 cash, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, and the chance to win a summer getaway to the Wisconsin Dells area or an escape to Door County. Download the free Civic Media app in the Google Play or App Store. Then listen in for the keywords during the 7 and 11 a.m. hour and 2 and 4 p.m. hour. Text in the keyword and get set to win. It's Civic Media's Scotty Summer.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In discussions over the so-called Big Beautiful Bill, backed by Donald Trump, that's making its way through Congress, none other than Wisconsin Senator Ron Johnson has emerged as the most prominent Republican critic of the bill, saying at a recent Milwaukee Press Club event that it is, quote, not even close to adequate. Johnson has said he wants spending cuts to go even further, including making cuts to Medicaid. But Johnson's position as a critic of this bill makes him especially influential in these negotiations. But let's not forget the last time he was in a similar position. In 2017, he was a critic of the Trump tax cut bill, but what he fought for was a tax break for certain types of businesses, perhaps not coincidentally, businesses owned by his largest donors, Dick and Liz Uihlein. In 2018 alone, the Uihleins received more than $200 million in tax breaks because of this bill. So as the Big Beautiful Bill is negotiated in the Senate, let's not forget this piece of recent history.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
We are the National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Galby on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, Terry Moran was a longtime reporter for ABC News. He made some comments about Stephen Miller on social media, and ABC suspended him, and now they have fired him. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that after 9:30, the role of journalism, the role of journalists, and whether or not there is a double standard depending upon which outlet you work for. I personally think that there is.
Yeah. In the previous segment, I mentioned kind of vaguely a bill that was being proposed by the Democrats to curb bribery in campaigns. That was the thing that happened earlier this year, a couple of months ago. And we spoke to Lee Snodgrass about that.
Thank you.
You can go back and listen to that episode. But basically, it was a bill that was going to look to curb and or stop all interference from outside parties trying to influence and interfere in elections by way of bribery, which is what people believe Elon Musk was doing with his $1 million checks, as well as the "If you believe in the First and Second Amendment, click this thing and we'll give you some money." So, yeah, that's what they were working towards. I wanted to clear that up because as I was saying, I'm like, you are saying nothing right now. So, yeah.
Thank you for that. Appreciate
You're
the
welcome.
Clarification. I wanted to spend just a little time on the big ego parade that's happening on Saturday in Washington, D.C. Of course, it is the Army's 250th birthday. Just happens to be Donald Trump's 79th birthday. So there's going to be a big $45 million shell out for this parade.
At least.
Which most Republicans seem very excited about, except when you ask them if they're going to go.
Oh, man, this sounds like a really great time, guys. It's going to be a cool. There's going to be Army stuff. And
you know,
am I going? No, I can't.
I have lunch plans. I got other plans.
My great-grandniece has a ballet recital.
Senator Ron Johnson said in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, quote, "It's a good celebration to have. We should commemorate these types of moments. I'm a pretty frugal guy," Rojo said when asked about the $45 million price tag. "But when we're celebrating the 250th anniversary of the U.S. Army of fighting for this nation, it's not a bad time to splurge." MyVote.wy.gov. If you'd like to find Senator Ron Johnson's phone number or say any of our Republican delegation in Washington.
Yeah.
And you want to call him and ask him about the splurge?
Yeah.
MyVote.wy.gov.
You know it would be awesome to splurge on, Jane? $45 million. I know it's not a lot. It's a drop in the bucket, but just put that towards strengthening the VA.
Actually using that money for our veterans.
How about using it to help veterans with job searches? How about mental health, homelessness of the vets? Like, we could do so much better with splurging $45, which, by the way, I think is a laughable amount of money.
I think it's going to be much higher.
It's going to be much higher, and you're going to take into account the fact that the airport's going to be closing. That's going to be a big problem for people getting in and out, and not to mention the fact the Army, as we mentioned before, is committed to repairing any and all damage it's caused to the streets or cityscapes of D.C., which is going to be a lot when you're rolling a multi-ton tank down the street. So $45 million, you know, for some of these guys, it's their ninth boat. It's a small one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
it's a smaller, yeah.
Real money that can be given to the vets in ways of
that would
help
impact them much more
so
directly.
Much better money spent. Like
Derek Van Orden says he has something else going on in his district this weekend, so he can't go to the big ego parade, but said, quote, "You cannot put a price tag on patriotism," unquote.
Yes, we can. It's $45 million, apparently.
Glenn Grothman and Scott Fitzgerald say that the parade could help boost the recruiting numbers. Really?
I'm sure there's a pancake breakfast Glenn has to be at that he can't be at this thing. So,
Do parades really increase recruiting numbers?
No. I think the last thing that truly increased, there was... Honestly, and I mean no disrespect, but 9/11 increased recruiting numbers, people enlisted. But also another way they tried to do it, the movie Top Gun back in the 80s. They set up booths for the Air Force. And we haven't even heard about the MAGA loyal common folk. Those people living in all those states who voted for them, are they traveling to D.C.? Are they going to get into caravans and buses for a, you know, not so... an insurrection of fun, you know. I don't hear anything about big party buses being rented out to go to this.
It's interesting that you say that because, again, I saw something online earlier this morning that claimed that there are ads on Craigslist for seat holders at Saturday's parade. You can make $1,000 in crypto.
Cool.
Who's paying for that? Would be my question.
$1,000 and nothing money? Yeah, great.
Gene from Eau Claire is on the line. Good morning, Gene. Thank you for joining us. We don't have a whole lot of time. Gene, what do you want to say?
I just want to give one number here for those who are in rural areas who don't have best internet service or elderly who don't have people to help them with internet access. Ron Johnson's number is 202-224-5323. I'm going to say it again because sometimes we need it said twice as we get older.
Sure.
202-224-5323. Thank you, folks. Have your voices heard, and you guys have a great day.
You as well, Gene. Thank you so much. Yeah, just call and say, How much does a splurge cost? $45 million, according to Ron Johnson. It's a good reason to splurge. Yeah. Of course, I don't know why it's just the Army that's getting all the attention. We talked about this yesterday, the Navy's 250th birthday and the Marines' 250th birthdays coming up in fall.
Yeah.
Maybe we should splurge for them.
Don't give them any ideas, Jane.
It's only $45 million. Come on.
Tiffany's birthday is on the same day as the Navy.
Well, there's a reason to do it. News is coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the VAST, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up in Nicaragua if you have the app. Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. A government watchdog group has filed a lawsuit in Wisconsin seeking to prevent Elon Musk and others from offering cash payments to voters. The lawsuit, filed by the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, argues that allowing the cash payments creates a risk that the state's elections could be significantly influenced based on funding provided in support of a particular candidate. The state Supreme Court declined to hear a similar case during the April election, which aimed to block Musk from distributing $1 million checks to voters who signed his petition. Republican state lawmakers are proposing legislation seeking to increase price transparency for hospital costs. The proposed bill would create a new enforcement mechanism to ensure hospitals are complying with federal cost transparency laws. The legislation comes following a press release from the Wisconsin Hospitals Association highlighting a turquoise health analysis finding Wisconsin ranked first in the country for hospital price transparency. The analysis also found that no Wisconsin hospital had been fined for noncompliance with transparency laws. A Rice Lake man accused of leading law enforcement authorities on a high-speed chase in Ashland County after hitting a woman with a vehicle in 2021 has been sentenced to prison. According to court documents, 25-year-old Cody Stone entered a no-contest plea to charges of felony aggravated battery and misdemeanor operating with a restricted substance. Five other charges were read in but dismissed as part of a plea deal. Authorities say a blood draw taken after the arrest showed Stone was under the influence of methamphetamines and fentanyl. The last of four Webster residents facing felony charges in relation to a December drug bust in Burnett County has been sentenced. 50-year-old Christopher Merrill, 33-year-old Jacqueline Duncan, 42-year-old Lisa Anderson, and 47-year-old Ronald Anderson were all arrested in the drug bust that led to the recovery of methamphetamine, marijuana, and various drug paraphernalia. Merrill and Duncan were sentenced to prison in April, Lisa Anderson was sentenced in May, and on Monday, Ronald Anderson became the final suspect to be sentenced on amended charges. For WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Summer blockbuster season rolls on this weekend with some great options if you are headed to the theater. The highly anticipated live-action version of How to Train Your Dragon opens this weekend and has a very solid 82% on Rotten Tomatoes when it comes to critics. This is the fourth installment of the franchise, but the previous films have all been animated. Materialists is the latest material from Studio A24. The rom-com stars Pedro Pascal as a New York City matchmaker caught in a love triangle. The film is drawing an 87% on Rotten Tomatoes. Science fiction drama The Life of Chuck opens wide this weekend. The film is reviewing well and based on a short story by Stephen King. And if you're in the mood for a Western, check out The Unholy Trinity. The film stars Samuel Jackson and Pierce Brosnan, but has not been reviewed yet. My assumption would be lots of good gunfights, decent acting, cheesy dialogue, and a pretty bad story, as it has not been made available to critics yet. Let's go to the movies. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
Sunshine this morning, becoming mostly cloudy with scattered showers by later this afternoon. Our high today, 75. Some rain and thunderstorms tonight and tomorrow. And the rain could be heavy with a half inch to an inch or more likely by late tomorrow. Cooler tonight, 47. Our high tomorrow, 58. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 57.
Here's the deal. We gotta set ourselves up. See, retirement is the long game. We gotta make moves and make them early. Set up goals. Don't worry about a setback. Just save up and stack up to reach them. Let's put ourselves in the right position. Pre-game, to greater things. Start building your retirement plan at thisisretirement.org. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Lily Roberts, she is from the Center for American Progress Action Fund.
They're trying to pretend that this bill would be good for the working class because of this really small carve out to our tax laws. The no tax on tips piece does not at all even come close to addressing the problem of wages in this country. You know, a third of workers who work for tips in the first place don't make enough money to pay taxes at all.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons 4 until 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome beauty queen and security expert Jenna Watkins. And then we grill pizza in the studio with Papa John's owner, Danny Bim. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Buck. Galvanator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on, 6:05 broadcast start. The crew hosting the Cardinals. Didn't go well last night.
I don't know what you're talking about, Jane.
You're just going to pretend it never happened.
Yeah, the Cardinals, it's not even real.
Okay. The Brewers are hosting the Cardinals tonight. Our broadcast starts at 6:05, and you can listen to the game on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in beautiful Park Falls, and WBZH in Hayward.
If you're going to the game, folks, wear your pride because it's Pride Night.
That's right.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It should
Pride
be a
Night's
good night.
Always a good time.
Yep. 6:05, our broadcast starts as the Brewers host the Cardinals. Wanted to talk about this a little bit. This happened a couple of days ago. And once again, sometimes the news cycle picks up and we just have to backtrack a little bit. But Terry Moran has been a reporter for ABC News for almost 30 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's been around for a very, very long time. In fact, he was the one who was picked to interview President Trump earlier this year, where Donald Trump insisted that Kilmar Abrego Garcia had MS-13 tattooed on his hand.
Yeah.
Which was a Photoshop.
Which was what they call a lie.
And Terry Moran tried to point that out to him, and Donald Trump was basically, just agree with me, okay? Agree with me.
Even more so, Terry Moran was like, hey, do you want to talk about something else? Can we talk? Like, we can.
He was trying to get him away from
it. Move on. Yeah. And Trump's like, no, look at this picture. Someone perfectly Photoshopped this tattoo on his face. It's like, it was just absolutely, I mean, like, part of me was like upset with Moran to be like, no.
Let him stay on it.
Yeah, let him dig his own grave on this one. But yeah. Also, I forgot that interview was this year.
It was.
Feels like it was 20 years ago.
I know, but it wasn't all that long ago. But Terry Moran, a few days ago, decided to post this on what used to be Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, again, a quote from Terry Moran. The thing about Stephen Miller, by the way, one of the main architects of Donald Trump's administration.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about Stephen Miller is not that he is the brains behind Trumpism. Yes, he is one of the people who conceptualizes the impulses of the Trumpist movement and translates them into policy. But that's not what's interesting about Miller. It's not brains, it's bile. Miller is a man who is richly endowed with the capacity for hatred. He is a world-class hater. You can see this just by looking at him, because you can see that his hatreds are his spiritual nourishment. He eats his hate. That's what Terry Moran posted on Twitter after he did that. ABC suspended him and has now since fired him 2 days after they suspended him after that post. Should he have lost his job? 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. We're talking about ABC News reporter Terry Moran getting bounced from the network after almost 30 years after making that post about Stephen Miller and being hateful. Should he have lost his job? 855-752-4842.
And if you do think he should have been fired, please tell us why. What about his tweet was so reprehensible that he would have to lose his job? Honestly, even be suspended, because other reporters say things that are not complimentary. But also, we live in a day and age where people from his White House and himself say horrible things about the press. So they're really just swimming in the world that Trump has created, which is he has shown himself as a hateful, just a vile person. And a vile reference really like hits with you when he says that. So, yeah, Terry Moran is just reflecting the behavior of this administration. And should he have been fired for it? I would like to know why, if you think so.
855-752-4842. Talking about ABC News correspondent Terry Moran, who is now out of ABC 2 days after he was suspended for posting on social media, calling Stephen Miller a world-class hater. The network says it was at the end of its contract with Terry Moran, and based on his recent post, a clear violation of ABC News policies, we have made the decision not to renew. I saw Terry Moran show up on Twitter this morning. He's going over to Substack. Mm-hmm. So he is going to continue on. But should he have lost his job? Yeah. 855-752-4842. I am kind of two minds about this.
Yeah.
In a previous iteration in my job, I worked for a station where I was in the news department.
Correct. Yeah.
There were very, very strict rules.
Yeah.
About whether news people could not give an opinion. You were there to report the facts. You were not there to provide opinion.
Yeah.
So there was a very, very strict lane for news reporters. And that's kind of what I have come up. That's what I came up through.
Yeah.
Was that if this is your role, if your role is in the news department, you do not offer opinions. And to me, what Terry Moran posted was opinion.
Understood. I understand what you're saying as far as in your professional capacity, but is there an argument to be made? He said he did not post that in an ABC capacity. He posted it on his personal Twitter account where he should be allowed to post his opinion. He's not going on. He didn't go to the news desk. He didn't say it on ABC's dime. He said it on his own social media account. I also asked the question, did he know what he was doing?
Oh, he knew what he was doing.
Like, did he know the ramifications of it all?
I have to assume that he did. I have to assume that he did. Anne from Chippewa Falls texting in, listening on WAUK. No, we have free speech. Trump says whatever he wants. And from Menominee, Wisconsin, former Chippewa resident, Paul from Spooner, Terry just told the truth. Mm-hmm. Mary from Tosa just got a video from Terry Moran saying he will be on Substack shortly. Yep, Mary, he's not going away. He's not disappearing, but he's you know, parted ways from ABC. I guess the one where I'm kind of wrestling with this myself, when you look at Fox,
yeah,
all they do is spew opinion.
Mm-hmm. Because they don't tell they don't report
well,
the news.
Well, that is the outlet. Let's not forget. Mm-hmm. Fox News was fined nearly $1 billion with a B, nearly $1 billion for lying to its viewers.
Yeah.
For telling them what they wanted to hear, that the 2020 election was stolen, which it was not. So on the one end, it's like anybody on Fox can say anything they want and have the most horrible smears and whatever, but Fox ultimately is classified as an entertainment network. They are not a news. Technically, they are not a news organization.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can try to.
I know it's splitting hairs.
It's very much, but it's an important conversation because I think one of the other things to be discussed is if he violated his contract, then ABC, I mean, Terry Moranis said in no way, shape, or form is he suing them. Because he most likely did violate his contract.
Probably.
But I do see there being an argument to say, like, this is Terry Moran's personal Twitter page. He wasn't on ABC's Twitter. He wasn't on the news. He was using his social media account that...
Isn't that what happened to the CBS 58 meteorologist?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
she posted that on her personal...
Yeah.
Social media.
And that argument was also made as well. I mean, she's gone on to become... She didn't get her job back, but she's also very active on social media. And there are, and I do not, I respect getting your money and getting your, because people need to make a living. If you can monetize the event to help your own quote unquote brand, I hate using that word, then go for it. Especially if you're just trying to like report the news and whatnot. But the other part of this discussion we have to bring in is the fact that for a while now, news outlets, whether it's the New York Times, Washington Post, we just saw it with CBS and 60 Minutes, pulling their punches, changing stories, not reporting fairly because they don't want to get in trouble with him. And ABC, I'm sure, looked through the contract and said, of course, yeah, we can fire him. But they're also making a big show to say to Donald Trump, and don't forget, Disney. This is a Disney network.
That's a very important thing to remember.
They are saying, hey, he may... John, see, yeah. We're cool. Yeah. We're cool, everybody.
Don't come after us and let us merge.
Yeah, exactly. We want to make one company in this country, and we can't do that if the Orange Chief is mad at us.
No kidding. We're talking about ABC's Terry Moran. He had been with the network since 1997, rather, and was suspended by ABC News after posting on his social media about Stephen Miller, saying Stephen Miller's hatreds are his spiritual nourishment. He eats his hate. They have since parted ways with Terry Moran. Again, during an interview with Donald Trump it was a month ago. It was only a month ago.
That's not true.
Donald Trump told him, you're not being very nice.
You know, and that's the other thing, too, is that this is critiqued. While it is opinion written in very, very, very flowery language, I mean, it's beautiful to read. It's a very well-written tweet, I will say. I hope there were drafts. But it is a fair critique of him, his people, and this administration of how they do business. It's not run on the notion of bettering this country. That is the shiny facade. But behind it is nothing but hatred for everyone who isn't them. So I feel like, personally, and I didn't grow up in the work in news departments. I understand where you're coming from. I truly do. But I'd say that, one, Terry Moran did it on his own Twitter account, and two, he's making a fair critique about this organization. I don't think that what he wrote was so egregious. I feel like it was absolutely fair and spot on for what they're doing to the American people right now.
Well, it's not like I'm disagreeing with Terry Moran's opinion Miller. I think that man's got issues. But again, it's whether or not this was appropriate coming from a journalist. And I think part of the problem is that Fox gets treated by like an entirely, they get their own set of rules over at Fox. Mm-hmm. They can do whatever they want. It doesn't matter. They can say the most egregious lies and get away with it, except for this one instance where, yeah, almost $1 billion in fines. But
Calvin popped it in the chat. He said, replace Stephen Miller with AOC, and Terry Moran would have been encouraged to say it on Fox.
Oh, that's interesting.
I mean, and that is also the other discussion point, too. It is the double standard. If Terry Moran would have wrote this about Joe Biden AOC.
Oh, God,
or,
they'd be celebrating him.
It would be the left would be outraged at the fact that he wrote an opinion, but there would be no firing. There would be no. I'm sorry. There isn't a world that exists where he gets in as much trouble for criticizing a Democrat as he does Donald Trump. Notice I didn't say Republican. I said Donald Trump because there's a difference.
Join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Stay close. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
as Wisconsin has a fish fry on a Friday night. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We're following up on a story from last summer when Georgia's State Elections Board voted to allow county election board members to conduct their own investigations before certifying an election, potentially throwing the elections into chaos. The state Supreme Court threw out that and other fringe rules on June 10th. The Georgia Elections Board approved partisan, conspiracy-driven rules just 90 days before the 2024 election, including allowing individual members of county election boards to conduct their own reasonable inquiry before certifying an election. Another rule approved in September required a hand count of paper ballots into stacks of 50 to compare with the machine count total. Pro-voter groups challenged the rules, and last October, a district court judge ruled they were enacted too close to the election and were too disruptive. The Republican National Committee and the Georgia GOP appealed for an emergency order, which was declined until after the election. In a victory for voters, the Georgia Supreme Court found June 10th that most of the election board's new rules were not enabled by state statute. The court allowed surveillance cameras at drop boxes, but struck down most others, including reasonable inquiry investigations, post-election document examination, hand counting, and IDs for family members dropping off mail ballots. Two other rules were sent back to lower courts. We have the 96-page order at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Here's to experiencing it all this summer in Wisconsin. Every deliciously cheesy, rockin', magical, fireworks-filled, festival-loving moment. There's Cheese Curd Fest in Ellsworth, Strawberry Fest in Cedarburg, Festival of the Arts in Stevens Point, and the Renaissance Fair in Bristol, Honor the Earth Pow Wow in Hayward, Mile of Music in Appleton, Venetian Fest, Rockfest, Summerfest. So many fests for your whole crew. Find them all at TravelWisconsin.com. Sponsored by Travel Wisconsin.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
State's Eric Kelder Royce.
The vast majority of people on Medicaid are already working, and it is Medicaid that makes it possible for them to work. People who are disabled or have chronic illnesses and without that health care, they would be out of the workforce. They would have no ability to participate in the economy, and now they can. Medicaid is one of the greatest workforce programs this country has ever built, and they are trying to dismantle it, and with it, they're going to take people's lives and economic security.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app. Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Good morning. Welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter after 11 o'clock. It is going to be the continuation of our statewide Text to Win Scotty Summer Contest. You want to listen for the keyword. After 11 o'clock, you will hear the voice of Greg and me giving you the keyword, and then you text it in via the Civic Media app. You will be in the running for a hot $100 in cash, a pair of Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets, and then in the running, whether you win or not, in one of two grand prizes, a summer vacation in either Door County or Baraboo. We got gas money to get you there as well.
Nice.
Be listening for that keyword coming up after 11 o'clock. You got two more days to enter 4 times a day. Mm-hmm. Well, now 7 times because Pat's done already.
Yeah.
So it's the 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours today, and then the 7, 11, 2, and 4 o'clock hours tomorrow. our statewide Scotty Summer Text to Win contest.
You want some hot cash? Hot, listen here.
Hot $100. Coming up after 11. I know it makes you laugh. That's why.
It just reminds me of the old school radio that I used to listen to. Listen here, for be the 12th caller to win Led Zeppelin tickets. I'm not that old, but Led Zeppelin was the first band that popped in my mind.
I am that old.
You are.
I wanted to spend a little of time talking about this because as the deportations continue and ICE continues snatching what we were promised were the worst of the worst.
Yep.
Rapists and criminals and drug dealers and all of these terrible illegal immigrants who are here. Yeah, those aren't the only people that are being snatched up off of our streets. And now we have a gentleman. Is this in Florida?
I believe he is. Let's see here. Yes. He is in the Florida Keys. His name is Vincent Scardina.
He's got a roofing business.
Got a roofing business. He was a supporter of Donald Trump. And as we were reporting, we're reading from Alternet. We're getting this news story from. He has a roofing business, and he has had six of his crew, all from Nicaragua. They have been deported.
Yeah. They were on their way to work.
And we've been hearing these stories from almost the start, where it is people who are supporters of Donald Trump getting directly affected by these immigration policies. And Mr. Scardina, and I'm not, I'm going to sit here and be like, I told you so, but I'll never say I told you so. I will always say you got what you voted for. And that might be a variation on a theme, but it's true. You wanted this. And at no point did Donald Trump not say he was going to start deporting people.
Good heavens, they had the signs at his rallies, mass deportations. Now they did it in Milwaukee.
Yeah, and so they are in a local detention facility for quote unquote deportation. And quote, he said, it's quite a shock. You get to know these guys. You become their friends. They're not just an employer, but a friend. And he also goes on to say that they were here legally. Valid work permit, not even close to expired. Again, no criminal records, not here, not in Nicaragua. We haven't said this in a while, Jane, but remember the age-old thing? If they only
The
right way. Just do it the right way and it'll be fine. Well, it seems like you have a man who was employing these gentlemen and they were here legally, had all their paperwork, doing all the right things, and they're gone.
We have people who are going to their court appearances. The judges are canceling their case.
Yeah.
And they walk outside and ICE arrests them. They are trying to follow the system that we set up for these folks to follow.
Yeah.
And they're getting to court for their duly appointed appointments.
Yep.
The judge cancels the case. They walk outside. They get arrested. Now, Donald Trump this morning has put on social media, our great farmers and people in the hotel and leisure business have been stating that our very aggressive policy on immigration is taking very good long-time workers away from them, with those jobs being almost impossible to replace. In many cases, the criminals allowed into our country by the very stupid Biden open borders policy are applying for those jobs. This is not good. We must protect our farmers, but get the criminals out of the USA. Changes are coming.
Let me just remind them what I just said here. Those gentlemen working for Mr. Scardini, here legally, valid work permit, not even close to expired. Again, no criminal records, not here or in Nicaragua.
Yep.
And some of you might be saying, we'll hire someone else. Well, I'll read you what Mr. Scardina said about that. We're not able to just replace people as easily as, say, a big city with limited people to pull from, and then you would have to train them, and that takes sometimes years. So, once again, he is an example of... And honestly, I feel bad for him because he was told by this administration that, as you said, Jane,
only
would be
the worst.
But the rest of us were like, I don't think it's going to be just that. His business is now going to suffer. Who knows where he'll be in a few months? And these gentlemen from Nicaragua were doing it the way you said they needed to.
We have a whole bunch of people who have been following the rules, like we said, and doing it the right way, showing up for their court appearances.
Mm-hmm.
That then get dismissed.
Yep.
and they walk outside and they get arrested.
Sounds like some due process isn't due processing.
Yeah. Sounds like a trap, actually.
Yeah.
When we return after the news, we lost Brian Wilson.
We did.
Of the Beach Boys at the age of 82. We will share some memories of Brian Wilson on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. An Air India plane bound for London with more than 240 people on board crashed and exploded after takeoff this morning in India's northwest city of Ahmedabad. Black smoke could be seen billowing from the crash site as the plane burst into flames as it hit a neighborhood. Here's ABC Chief Foreign Correspondent James Longman.
The plane is 11 years old and the Indian Civil Aviation Authority has been quick to point out that the pilot had over 8,000 hours of flying experience, but it is, of course, much too early to know the cause of this crash.
The pilot had more than 8,000 hours, as James said, of flight time, the time of the crash. The plane, a Boeing 787 Dreamliner, it's the first time that type of aircraft has crashed ever. The curfew lifted in Los Angeles this morning as protests against ICE raids continue in several cities nationwide. Iran, censured by the UN Nuclear Watchdog's regulatory agency, and the U.S. pulling non-essential personnel from the region amid fears of a conflict. This is ABC News.